Today we're going to base our faith on the pillars of truth that undergird the Christian message. The world as we know it is crumbling. The final days draw near. Upheaval and apostasy are everywhere. How do we escape? What hope do we have? And what must we avoid? Join Timothy Talks as we answer these questions and discover afresh the wisdom of 2 Peter. Welcome back to Timothy Talks. My name is Daniel Pentamone, and I'm doing another episode where we are walking through the book of 2 Peter. This is just an effort to try to get some more scripture into our lives because the Word of God is powerful. There are some beautiful, glorious things in the book of 2 Peter, and I've been really encouraged. I want to share with you some of the wonderful things in the book of 2 Peter. But we're picking up in verse 12 of chapter 1, and Peter's been reminding us. We use this illustration of a treasure chest, and it is the treasure chest of the divine nature. It is filled with gold and silver and all of these precious metals, and it's actually your faith that has access to this treasure chest, which is filled with the divine nature, the character qualities of God himself. This isn't something you have to seek after if you're a Christian. You already have it. If you have a relation with Jesus Christ. But Peter has just told us about these character qualities. And now he says, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. See, Peter knows that he's not going to be in the battle for that much longer. And we actually have in John chapter 21, verses 18 through 19, Jesus prophesied of a time when Peter would die. In fact, let's read that. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Now, most of us are never going to have, in fact, I would probably tend to say none of us are ever going to have a time when God is going to reveal in that way our death. But Peter had this revelation. He was specifically told by Jesus that this would happen, and he knows that it's coming soon. He's got to know that this is something that's going to be happening soon. And in fact, history does teach us that shortly after this, Peter would be executed in Rome. He would be executed through crucifixion, the same punishment that his Savior had to endure, crucifixion. But Peter would also say that he was not worthy to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord. And he asked to be crucified upside down because he was not worthy of dying in the same way that the Savior died. But Peter knows that this is coming. He knows that he's going to die shortly. And he says, I want to remind you of these qualities. Those qualities of the divine nature that you should be adding to your faith, I want to remind you of them because I'm going to be gone soon. See, what Peter's doing is it's like he's shooting off a cruise missile. He's like, I'm gonna go down, but I'm going to shoot this cruise missile off first. I don't know if you've ever watched any of those war movies, but sometimes someone's going down and they know they're going down and the enemy's coming and they're just on this charge. And so maybe they run over to the cannon. And they know they're going to die and they're getting shot at by these bullets, but they're going to do one thing before they die. They're going to cause that cannon to go off. And they pull the cord and the cannon explodes just as they keel over. And that's almost what Peter's doing. He's like, I know I'm not going to be in this fight much longer, but you know what? I'm going to do something more in this fight. I'm going to remind you of these qualities so that long after I'm gone, you can remember to add these virtues to your faith. Because they are that important. I want you to remember them, and so I'm going to make every effort to do so. But then from there, in verses 16 to 21, Peter is actually going to lay out the claim to why the knowledge of Jesus is believable. And I said that the last time that we were talking about 2 Peter, I said that your faith is valuable. It's as valuable as Peter's faith. That's what Peter tells us. But it's only valuable if it's based on the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So then the natural question comes up. How do we know that the knowledge of Jesus Christ is true knowledge? And Peter's going to answer that in two ways. He gives us two pillars of evidence. See, what Peter's doing is it's almost like he's in the courtroom now. And there's this charge against Peter. Peter, you've been following cleverly devised myths. Why should we believe you when you tell us about Jesus? You just made this stuff up. Now, if this seems rather far-fetched, it's actually not. Because the claim that the apostles were following cleverly devised myths, we see this even recently in the last 200 years in this idea of the historical Jesus versus the Jesus of faith or the Christ of faith, the Christ of history or the Christ of faith. The idea goes like this. There was a historical person. His name was Jesus, and he was a rabbi. And he went around Galilee and he did get crucified in the end, but we really don't know a whole lot about him because the New Testament is just all of the ideas and myths that were associated with him by his followers who developed a new religion based on him, but he didn't hold to any of that. So that's sort of this idea that it's just cleverly devised myths. Well, is that true? Well, outside of the extra biblical fact that the Gospels were clearly written, scientifically shown that the Gospels were clearly written very shortly after the time of Christ, so it wasn't like this was hundreds of years of myths that were added to them. We have Peter's own words. Peter's now going to defend his faith against this idea that it's a different faith from the faith of the Old Testament and the faith of Jesus Christ. And this is what he says. First of all, his first pillar is eyewitness testimony. He says, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now, the apostles do this often. They frequently mention their own eyewitness testimony. You see that here in 2 Peter. You see that in the book of 1 John, where John talks about having actually personally known Jesus Christ. You have that even with Paul, where he talks about his own eyewitness experience with Jesus. Now, true, Paul is a little different. He wasn't one of the original apostles, but he did, as he himself very often states, he saw the risen Jesus Christ. So the apostles are always referring back to their testimony, and they place it as a very important thing. One of the reasons why they place it as so important is because there were so many people who actually saw Jesus Christ, who actually interacted with Jesus. Now, why are there four gospels? You might think there's one God. Shouldn't there be one authoritative gospel? And in fact, Muslims will actually use this to try to disprove the New Testament. If there's one God, why are there four gospels? But the reality is, it's actually a good thing that there's four Gospels, because remember that we're coming out of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a Jewish book. And in the Jewish system, you have to have two or three witnesses to confirm anything in a court of law. So when you have four Gospels, you actually have four witnesses to these things. Now, admittedly, Luke did not personally see these things. It doesn't appear that Mark either was a personal witness, but they were people who did extensive research, Luke especially, extensive research, talking to eyewitnesses and bringing out a very scholarly academic for that time, not academic in the sense of today with footnotes and references, but still an academic, well-researched material of the life of Jesus Christ. And all four of the Gospels, therefore, are going to eyewitness testimony to make their case. And Peter does the same thing. Peter actually gives the clincher experience. You ever had the clincher? Where everything else maybe would sway you, but there's one thing, that's the clincher. That makes your mind certain. And this is what it is for Peter. It's the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter's there on the mountain, and he says, we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. What was this voice? It was the voice born to Jesus by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is a majestic voice. And Peter hears it on the mountain. There's this old saying that goes like this. Never doubt in the dark what God told you in the light. See, if you're struggling in your faith, if you're having difficulties and questions, and you can't see the light clearly, it's not a good time to make big decisions. You need to cling to what you know. If there's persecution around you, if you can't sense where you are, you need to cling to what you know to be true, what you're absolutely convinced of, what is beyond a shadow of a doubt, certain. And here's what it is for Peter. Peter knows. He knows with absolute certainty that he saw Christ transfigured on the mountain, and a voice from heaven declaring Jesus Christ to be the beloved Son with whom God was well pleased. Because he knows that in the light, he's never going to forsake that in the dark. This is eyewitness testimony of the first rate. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to look at the second pillar on which Peter rests his case. From the team at Timothy Talks, I just want to say thank you for listening. We truly appreciate every single person who tunes in to listen to the show. Our goal is to serve God's people. So I also want to ask, if you know someone that we could serve with this show, would you do us a huge favor and tell them about the podcast? Thank you so much. Welcome back. We're working through 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 21. We already saw that Peter is launching a cruise missile because he's so convinced that believers need to remember these qualities of the divine nature. But then from there, because our faith is only so valuable as the knowledge that it is based on, he wants to assure us that our knowledge of Jesus Christ is sure. Peter is in the courtroom. He has to provide a defense against this idea that he was following cleverly devised myths, that he was following the Christ of faith, who is separate from the Christ of history. And that's what Peter's doing. So he's already given us one pillar of evidence as to why his message of Jesus Christ is certain, and that is the pillar of eyewitness testimony. Now, the second pillar is the pillar of the prophetic word. He says, "We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." I just want to point out here that the prophetic word more fully confirmed, based on your English translation, some translations almost pick up this idea that the prophetic word is more confirmed than the eyewitness testimony of the apostles. And I just want to point out that I like how it's worded here. We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. Because the point is not that the prophetic word is better evidence than eyewitness testimony. It's simply that the prophetic word that we have today is more confirmed than the prophetic word that happened before the transfiguration. See, here's what's going on. Eyewitness testimony of the apostles is first-rate evidence. You can't get better evidence for Jesus Christ than eyewitness testimony of an apostle. That is clear evidence. But here's the wonderful thing. God doesn't just give us the eyewitness testimony of the apostles. He gives us a second pillar of evidence, and that is the prophetic word of the Old Testament. And here's the wonderful thing. Because we live in the present day, because we live in this age, the same age that Peter lives in, we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed to us today than it was before Jesus came back. Before Jesus came to earth, we had all these prophecies in the Old Testament, and some of them were fulfilled in the Old Testament, but many of them were not fulfilled. But now we live in an age when we can see these prophecies fulfilled, many of them fulfilled. All you have to do is read the book of Matthew. I mean, right there in the book of Matthew, you've got promise after promise fulfilled. You have the fulfillment of the Old Testament seen in Jesus Christ. And that's why Peter says, the prophetic word is more fully confirmed to you. It's more fully confirmed now than it used to be, because we see the confirmation of it. But here's the point. That prophetic word gives evidence that Jesus Christ really is who he says he is. If your faith is doubting, if you're unsure of Christianity, you know where you can look? You can look to the Old Testament, and you can see that the Old Testament points clearly to Jesus Christ. And I'm even going to throw a note in here. If your understanding of the Old Testament does not reveal that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, then you're missing something, because it's there. This isn't something that I'm reading into the text. This isn't something that Peter's reading into the text. This is something that is there already. If you have eyes to look for it, you will see it, because it's there, it's clear. These are passages of Scripture that are divine confirmations of the message of Jesus Christ. And so that's the second pillar of evidence, prophetic word that's more fully confirmed today. He says that this prophetic word is actually like a lamp shining in a dark place. You get the picture here. Of you walk into this room and it's dark, is maybe musty and it's old and you can't see what's laying on the floor. And you're going to trip and you're going to fall. Again, what happens when you can't see stuff? Bad stuff happens if you don't know where you're going. So it's good to pay attention to the Old Testament. Oh, by the way, just as an aside, we don't have to unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament, because the Old Testament is like a lamp shining in a dark place. It gives us sight when we can't see. It gives stability to our faith. It's that valuable. It's that important. So pay attention to the prophetic word of the Old Testament, because it shines in a dark place. You see, when you walk into a dark room, what happens? If you're not careful, you're going to step on your son's Lego. And you know what happens when you step on Legos with your bare feet? It hurts. Trust me. Or do it yourself and you'll find out very quickly. And that's the problem. When you walk into a dark place, you need light so that something like that doesn't happen. The Old Testament gives that light. It gives a sense of certainty to your faith. It gives you some further vision that you don't have without it. And it keeps you out of trouble. Now here's the first thing that we know, says Peter in verse 20, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And here's the point. The Old Testament didn't come from someone's own interpretation. That is to say, no one sat down and tried to interpret what God was doing in heaven and then just wrote down what they thought was happening, and then that was how the Old Testament came about. No, not at all. Rather, it was never produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. See, it didn't come from themselves. It came from God. And I'll admit, there's some weird stuff in the Old Testament. You have some stuff that's like, what's going on there? You know, if you ever read some of the prophets, you got some things that are going to make you scratch your head. So when Ezekiel sees all of these visions of these gigantic beasts and these gyrating wheels in the sky, and I mean, just stuff that you would naturally think, like, that's, I don't know, a little weird. I mean, if I was going to write about God, I probably wouldn't maybe describe it that way. So did Ezekiel just sit down and think, whoa, those Israelites, they need some guidance. I think I'll come up with this strange idea of God, and that'll really put the fear of God into them. No, not at all. That's not what Ezekiel's doing. He's being carried along by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit is giving him this wisdom. And that is why we have the prophetic word, because God's Spirit is intimately involved in the production of that. That's not to say that men are machines, by no means. Men are still men who write down the words, who think, who themselves think through ideas and write down thoughts that are in their mind. But where did those thoughts originally come from? They weren't just self-created thoughts. They were thoughts that came by the Holy Spirit. So you can rest your faith on this certainty that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. And if you ever doubt that, if you ever are concerned about knowing that for certain, here are two pillars of evidence that Peter gives us: his own eyewitness testimony and a more fully confirmed prophetic word of the Old Testament. Thank you so much for joining me on Timothy Talks as we've walked through 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 21. And we'll be back next week with more content for you. Thank you. The Timothy Talks podcast that you've been listening to is produced by Daniel Pentamone and Matthew Risher. We believe that high theology leads to high doxology. The more we know and believe about God, the more we will love and serve him. For more information, just visit TimothyTalksPodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you.